Welcome, beloved audience members, to Movies for When You've Got a Case of the Frasers. I'm Denny Fraser, and I'm here with special guest, Vanessa Fraser.
Hello. Why are we Frasers?
Because we've got a bad case of the Frasers, and there's no cure.
I don't know what that means.
It means that we can't stop watching Brendan Fraser.
Oh, that Fraser. I was like, I've never watched Fraser in my life.
No, there's Fraser, and then there's Fraser. We have the Frasers.
We have the Frasers.
Frasier.
Let's rephrase this. And we are the Frasers. Phrases?
They're like Freudian psychologists. You don't want to be like them.
I don't. I meant to say Brendan Frasers.
Fraser.
I'm lost. We have to stop.
All right. Anyway, Vanessa's here. I'm here. We originally were going to do this episode because Greg was in Puerto Rico, but he's back now, and I still haven't watched Seven Samurai, so me and Vanessa are just going to do this anyway to get an episode out there. But we are really excited. So basically what happened is we watched George of the Jungle for the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then his charm was so endearing that Vanessa recommended Encino Man.
Yep.
And I immediately fell in love with that movie as well.
I could not believe that you hadn't seen it.
I hadn't even really...
You hadn't Encino'd it.
I hadn't even really heard of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it. And he's just so damn charming that we had to watch The Mummy. Like, we had to.
Yeah, obviously.
It needed to be done, even though... we rewatched it, not too long ago. I want to say last fall, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, probably something like that. It was in the recent past.
But it's an easy one to throw on. It's an easy one to throw on.
It's always been a favorite for me. So it's like, it hits all of the adventure, thrilling, slight romance, you know, monster-y kind of stuff.
Well, it hasn't always been a favorite for me, but I have come to love it in my adult life. So we'll get to talk about some pros, some cons, to love, lots to Brendan, lots to Fraser, you know?
Yeah.
I hardly know her. But first, we are going to do a brief what we've been watching section. Vanessa, I've watched a lot of what I've watched with you. Also, a lot of it's just been kind of... I have a lot of rewatches because I've been doing like crafts and stuff in the garage, and I've just kind of been putting on stuff I've already seen in the background lately.
Sure.
There are a couple good things though I'd get into, but do you want to start us off with anything?
Sure. Shout out to our buddy Mitch Guerra, who is currently in the top five for Survivor 48.
Hell yeah, Mitch!
And so he's going to be in the finale. It'll be in the finale on Wednesday the 21st, whenever that is, when this comes out.
I think it's probably going to come out on that day.
So, oh, great.
Yeah, everybody watch Survivor tonight.
Yeah, and cheer on our good buddy Mitch.
Unless you're a casual who doesn't listen to this on the day of release.
That is totally understandable. Yes. I've been watching Survivor. That's been, like, that was something that I always loved. I remember watching Survivor Season 1 with my family and then kind of stopped watching it for a very, very, very long time because I didn't have, regular TV and hated commercials. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been really fun to watch him in this. I also...
I don't think they know that we know Mitch. I don't think that's been said on the air.
We
worked and were friends with Mitch for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. We're not currently close with him, but
I haven't talked to him a couple of years, but
it's been really fun.
Always around each other for a long time.
We worked very closely together for a long period of time.
He is just as good of a guy as he seems like on the show.
Absolutely.
Like, he is
a wonderful
human.
Has not changed. I mean,
I feel like I'm like hanging out with him again when I watch the show with you.
1,000%.
That's our guy. He's always been real. He's always been genuine.
Yeah, man. Just is himself being out there kicking ass.
Cannot wish enough good things on that dude.
1,000%. I have also been watching the new season of Black Mirror, which also that dropped and reminded me that I hadn't actually seen, I think, much of season 6. So I watched that for the first time. So I've been kind of consuming a lot of, dystopian type. I also, on that same vein, the new season of Love, Death, Robots also came out. this week or sometime around this recent past. So I've been watching that. So lots of dystopian world stuff for me lately. So it's fun to get to talk about The Mummy. That's quite grounded, you know.
Yeah, very, very reality-based, you know.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Yellow Jackets?
Sure, yeah.
Man, we were super into Yellow Jackets. We watched it again, and I want to do a third rewatch, but I'm autistic. You know how that goes.
I think I will need to do a third rewatch, but probably closer to when the fourth season, which just heard was, you know, confirmed.
That's what got me thinking about it, yeah, is that exactly. You told me that it finally got renewed, which yeah. is, like, insane that it took this long because it's such a popular show.
Mm-hmm.
I love my bleak bitches on Yellow Jackets. Misty Quigley has my heart first and foremost.
Misty is... Misty and I would not get along. And that's why it's really hard for me to root for her, because I very much kind of put myself as my teenage self in these spaces when I watch this, like, show. Mm-hmm. That just is something that I tend to do. And Misty, I just, like, while I love Christina Ricci, and I think she was doing a fabulous job portraying Misty, Misty gives me the heebie-jeebies. I want to see her get her comeuppance, and I also kind of love her as well.
Comeuppance? She's just a really good friend.
She is not a good friend. She does not understand what it is to be a good friend.
No,
she only...
she's just a really good... she just really cares about her teammates.
I get heated when we talk about this in a way that I, like, legitimately can't. I can't. The justice seeking in me has, like, a case against her, and I know that you're trolling me, so I'm gonna stop.
I'm also being sincere. I just blindly love her and ignore her flaws.
I understand that.
Her core wound is rejection, and I find that relatable.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Uh-huh.
What character has your core wound, babe?
You know, I think a lot of them do. I see a lot of myself in a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, even some of myself in Misty.
I was going to say, what you've told me about you as a kid, I'm like, you as your high school self, I get that you would have made the team. You were athletic for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, what you've told me about, like, pencil grip cities and things like that.
But, like,
I'm like,
by
you
that
are...
time, no. Because, like, by that time... I was masking way, way, way better. Like, I was, like, a normal kid. That was the me that, like, you wouldn't have known that I was, you know, raised overseas at that time of life. Mm-hmm. Because I was very normal.
Even though you lived overseas.
Even though I lived overseas. But I'm just saying, like, I did not give off, like, the, you know...
Yeah, the vibe.
The vibe of being a weird... I mean, I've always been kind of a weird kid, but, like, extremely. Acceptably weird. I was, like, friends with, like, the nerdy prep kids. Like, you know, we were all in, like, calculus together and also played sports and did art because we went to, like, a very small...
Because there was five kids total.
actually, I graduated with 44, or 43, something like that. Yeah, no.
Well, I love Yellow Jackets. I kind of was like, we should talk about, like, the magic versus science debate, but I'm like, I'm fine. We've probably already done that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much in team, like, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah,
I think it has to be kind of spooky, like... that it's too coincidental, and also, like, I love me some magical thinking, especially when, like, there are hints that it might actually be happening. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in the woods as a kid, you know, like,
I lost my mind in the woods. Yeah,
like, I used to play in the woods outside because we, like, could only be inside the house for so much time. Mm-hmm. A day, and we weren't really supposed to go play in the woods, but also, like, I had to be outside. No one was
describing,
checking.
Like, a fucking European Grimm's Brothers fairy tale right now.
I was a feral child. When I tell you that I would get in trouble if I, like, got my clothes messed and things like that, like, too messy, or, like, if I got too much sap in my hair because it was hard to get it out, mm-hmm. you know, but, like, the only time I really got caught bad was when a friend and I were playing, like, gladiators over on a 2x4 over, like, a very rain-swollen creek that ran around in our neighborhood, but, like, in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So we both fell in, there are crawdads on us.
This is Bridge to Terabithia. What are you talking
about? Yeah, basically. But, like, we could both swim. Neither of us were terminally ill. We could both swim. It was fine. Yeah.
You got attacked by crawdads?
No, they just, like, were in the creek, so they got on us. I don't know. They didn't attack you.
They just crawled around on you?
Yeah, they're crawdad. No, they just, like, they clinged onto our clothes. They weren't, like, trying to eat us. It was just like, oh, there's a crawdad on me. Shake it off and go home. But I really tried to play it off. Like, I wasn't late to dinner and also completely sopping wet. But that really didn't go over well. As soon as my mom opened the door, it was just, I really tried to play it cool.
One time I was in the woods in a creek with my friend, and I tried to play it cool when I just took a shit on the ground. And
what?
I had to go to the bathroom really bad, and so I just went a little back away from the creek, not realizing we would, like, tread back when we went home. And I just took a shit on the ground and told him it was a moose when we found it. It was a McKinney.
You know, the McKinney moose.
Yeah, it's right by a golf
course.
Everyone
knows. The local moose that hangs out on the golf course and right by Valley Creek Elementary School. Like, oh my gosh.
What? We're deep into the woods.
Yeah.
It could have been any sort of
which,
wild
like,
animal.
Is
it was,
funny
it
because...
It was full yellow jackets on us,
yeah, for
baby.
Sure.
Like,
which is funny, though, because, like, I grew up as a child in Alaska, and so it would be very... totally obvious if you could blame it on a moose, because if you were pooping like a moose poops, that is some like sphincter control out the wazoo. I've never if a
you
human
would know.
Yeah, I know what
I mean. We get pretty intimate, babe, you know.
Stop
all about
stop stop it. No thank you. And moving on, moose poop is very symmetrical though.
Yeah, no, mine was too. What was really cool was I think the biggest cool point to take away from this discussion is that when I was in fourth grade, I took a big enough shit to convince someone it was a moose when I was a fourth grader. I think that's impressive.
I mean, I guess, yeah. But only if that fourth grader is dumb and doesn't know that moose don't belong in McKinney.
That's
and
definitely
also,
true. You're
I know,
describing that
I know.
Fourth grader.
I'm just saying, like, that would have not flown for me as a fourth grader. I would have immediately caught it and been like, you just shit right here, dude.
Yeah, well, me and my friend were dumb, so. Some movies I've been watching.
Yeah.
A lot of these were together, but I you know, I complained that Greg made me watch a 3-hour movie, or Seven Samurai. He hasn't made me watch it yet, but it's going to happen. But I did, like, immediately after that, voluntarily watch a 3-hour movie called Salem's Lot, directed by Tobe Hooper. You ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have heard of it before. I don't think I've ever seen it, though.
Well, the reason I watched it was because... Alamo Drafthouse in the pre-show for Sinners showed it as like one of the influences on some of the vampire photography, and the clips I saw were like really really intriguing and really captivating, so I watched it. It is definitely one of those paced like a book movies. Those really really awesome vampire shots are very sparse throughout the movie.
So it's a lot more my movie than a you.
Yeah,
movie.
No, I think you would love it. Yeah. I was making crafts and stuff in the garage while I was watching it. I do think if I like sat down and watched it straight with like, I would have been looking for my phone, because there's just a whole lot of like, really fleshing out the non-vampiric characters' relationships, and that's awesome. It's something you don't normally see in horror movies, and it makes the horror mean a lot more when you know like what these people mean to each other.
The horror means more,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So like it's not that I like dislike that they did that. It's just that that's not the most interesting thing to me in the world, is like how do these people relate to each other? How did they get here? What does this town mean to them?
Which is exactly what I want to know about like, every character. Yeah.
So I will say the last hour is really worth the wait for a person like me. Like, I definitely thought it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. It's also, it was just one of those that's been on my like watch list forever, and I'm just never quite in the mood to watch it. So I was glad to finally just have an opinion on that, you know?
Yeah. I like to watch things just for knowledge sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to see a Japanese movie called Noroi, N-O-R-O-I, The Curse. I saw it at Alamo Drafthouse. It was okay. Wasn't anything too amazing. It was a very analog media type of movie, and that's what we love. It was basically kind of like a mix of The Blair Witch Project and The Ring, and in that sense, it was kind of cool. It was a lot more bathwater than Baby, even though I did like some of it, but it's probably not something I'd watch again. I watched something that you will never watch with me. I asked to watch it all the time, and you've never done it. And it's going to pop one of our audience members pretty big.
Uh-huh.
I watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you hate that movie so much?
It's one of those things. I'm sure it's fine. Pee-wee, he just freaks me out. I can't really there's just something about him that, like, it's... I just have to chalk it up to, like, maybe I saw that one, saw a picture of him, or, like, I have a negative association, not with the sounds, but, like, the image of Pee-wee Herman.
You would have hated my Zanga.
Probably, yeah.
I don't have Pee-wee trauma, well... Anyway, I mean, it is a really weird and creepy movie, I'll be honest. Like, yeah. It's very strange. I saw this. I watched it all the time when I was a kid. I thought Pee-wee Herman was hilarious, but I didn't really... at the time, I didn't really have access to, like, old Pee-wee's Playhouse footage, you know? So this was really all I could watch for the most part, as someone who was interested in the character and the world, which is also kind of a bummer because, like, you really only see, like, the Pee-wee's Playhouse stuff in the opening sequence of the movie. But it's a really great Tim Burton movie. It's a weird one. I really enjoy it, and I always have. I think there's a lot of aura to it. There's a lot of really, really funny bits in it. Like the Stars at Night Are Big and Bright bit. Like, that gets me every time. I'm such a fan. But let's see. Let's do something we watch together.
Okay.
Let's see. What have we watched together? Hot Rod. We did a whole episode on Hot Rod way back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Though it was fun to check it out again. It definitely holds up.
One I keep forgetting we haven't covered. We watched Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah.
We love Muppet Treasure Island.
That's a classic for us. It goes so hard at the beginning, and it just keeps going hard the
whole
time.
Shiver my timbers, shiver my soul. Yo ho heave ho.
Yeah, dude, it's so good.
Badass movie. We're gonna do that long form on the podcast one day.
I feel like we've already done it before.
We did Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
I think Greg like randomly watched it, like, not for the podcast, not too long ago. He said he watched it.
Cool.
On the Muppet note, I wanted to say I watched the 2011 Muppets, the Jason Segel one.
Oh yeah.
When's the last time you saw that one?
Ooh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, me too.
I think we watched it once after we got married, so like it was probably since then, which was likely in 16 or 17, you know?
Yeah, I think that would be 16, 17. It came out in 2011. I was really into this when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, kind of like on the same note as Pee-wee's Big Adventure, when it came out, it was really cool to see... to see like the Muppets on the big screen again, and to see the classic bits, and to see nostalgia for the Muppets, even just because like they were just kind of a dead brand. They hadn't had any content come out in a really long time, and like the only way I could see the old stuff, I remember me and my roommates would go to iHeartVideo in Austin and rent like bootleg Muppet Show DVDs, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, like the shows had been released on VHS and DVD, but like,
who had the money to get that?
Right.
Like, a series or a set. Yeah.
Right. We were college kids. And it was also like, at the time, the catalog of shit online wasn't what it is now.
You
had to rely. You could get a lot of stuff online, but for the most part, it was what your like local Best Buy had.
Yeah.
You know? And so I loved this for what it was at the time. But now that, like, I can, like, I literally watched Muppet Treasure Island, like, a couple days before it. You know, like, now that I can just see the old Muppets, there is a better version of everything in this movie in the original incarnation of it. And I love Jason Segel. He's always been a self-surrogate of mine. Mm-hmm. I love what he did with the show, but, like, man, it's, like... It's, like, only nostalgia, and it's, like, really overwritten, and...
Oh, yeah. I remember even at the time, because I watched it because I was a fan of, you know, like, knowing that he loved puppets so much Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like, when it came out, I think pretty much everyone went to see it, or at least, like, most of my friends and stuff, like, and, yeah, it. I remember it feeling very overwritten, and just being like, oh yeah, this is because it's his passion project. Like, it did not need to be this long. It's like, I'm going to give it to him then. But I imagine watching it again, I would be real, like, a lot more annoyed with the length of it.
Right. Well, and I'm like, I would have rather seen him make his Dracula puppet musical than this. You know, like, in hindsight, I'm like, dude, just make something original. And again, the tone was very different in 2011. I think most people... felt like this was, like, welcomed, you know, like, most people who were, like, into the Muppets thought this was good. But, like, this is what I'm kind of discovering, is someone who, like, really considers himself a big fan of the Muppets, I've watched every movie they've ever made, and most of them are kind of bad. I like the original one. The Muppet movie is really good. I like Muppet Treasure Island a lot, and I love
Muppet Carol.
Christmas Carol is, like, a fantastic film. Yes. Like, not just for Muppet fans. Oh, no. You know, like, that's just a great movie.
Great movie.
But, like, man, even stuff like The Great Muppet Caper, Muppets Take Manhattan, I'm like, they're, like, passable.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, Muppets in Space is fucking trash.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
It's so convoluted, and, like,
Yeah.
So bad.
And it's actually, like, it's a franchise that works better on sentiment, I think. And I think really where their heart was in the show when Jim Henson was making it with. And, like, it's funny because I say two of the good ones are the ones that were after Jim Henson passed away. But
it still had, like, the spirit of, like they felt like tributes to the heart of.
Yeah.
You know. Versus, like, trying new things when he was still alive, like, him kind of, like, trying to innovate and, like,
Yeah, so that was kind of a bummer to go back and be like, it's actually not that great of a movie. It's not, like, a bad movie, but it's just kind of a nothing movie to me now. It was something I was, like, a crazy big fan of when I was in my early 20s, but we age, things change.
Yep.
I'll close on a documentary I've been wanting to watch for a long time on the Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Wolfman's Got Nards.
great.
which is an iconic line from the movie.
Cool.
Yeah, we covered the Monster Squad in one of our early Halloween episodes, I think. I think we all kind of had mixed feelings on, like, the way Boyhood is portrayed and, like, their view of women in that movie.
I remember not being a big fan at all, but...
I feel differently when I watch it at different times. You know, like, sometimes I'm like, man, this is a fun movie with a lot of heart. Yeah, some of it didn't age well. And then there's other times when it hits me and I'm like, dude, I don't even like this. You know, like, and I don't really know what the difference between the times are, but I have mixed feelings on it. This is what I really liked about the documentary, though, is it really explored what it's like to... have your passion project be a colossal failure and to get, like, really bitter about that, and then to, like, 20 years later hear that a bunch of people love it. And, like, what a, like even, like, the director was kind of like, listen, I know you guys want, like a nice happy ending answer, but, like, honestly, this was a really painful subject for me for a really long time, and I'm kind of ambivalent about people loving it now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, and I was just like, man, that... I guess, like, I don't watch a lot of documentaries, but when I do, one of the things I look for is I'm like, did you show me something I didn't already know?
Yeah.
You know, like, did I understand a subject or a human experience? Was this, like, was this covered differently that made me understand? You know, like, did you... did you make this for a reason?
Yeah.
You know? And I really think seeing the not just the director's process, but just everyone's process, and just like what it is like to be in a cult movie. And I guess you never really think about the pain that would come with that. Like the
yeah.
like by definition of a cult movie, it's usually that it was a financial failure that
it was like
that people got into later is what yeah. I you know, and they spend like 20 minutes on literally that subject of what's the definition of a cult movie, which yeah. I've literally never seen debated anywhere. Like of like it's exactly what I just said.
Yeah, you know? I mean
I don't know why they did that. It was a weird choice.
I mean, I guess like if you're just calling it a cult movie, you know, like yourself mm-hmm. might feel really presumptuous, so like defining it or something like that, I can see that making sense to be like, okay, this is why
yeah.
we think it was and blah blah blah, but
yeah. But you know, like I was thinking that it was just going to be like a big giant nostalgia fest and yeah. like a love fest for the movie. And I really felt like it taught me about like the human experience of like mm-hmm. what it's like to put everything into something that is just like a childhood dream for you to make a movie like this and to have like no one care and for it to fuck up your career
yeah.
And to just go all in on your dream and fail.
Yeah.
And then after all that pain to hear that like, the kids love it, you know. Like, dude, it was just captured a much more complex theme than I was expecting.
Yeah, so. Well, and it's probably much more true to most of, you know, like what those other cult documentaries or mm-hmm. things like that might have missed
sure.
in some of its like complexity and just rounding out the story.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's my what I've been watching lately.
Cool.
You have anything to add? Anything you wanted to touch on before we go into the main subject of the podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, then let's get to The Mummy.
Sounds good.
Man, Greg's not here, and I forgot to do a critical review of the week. I might do that by the end, or I'll edit it in or
sure.
something.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So we're covering, is it 1999's The Mummy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, 1999 movie. Let's see, you can watch it on, it doesn't look like it's streaming anywhere. We rented it on Amazon.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think we got it on Amazon.
If you don't love yourself, you can probably watch it free with ads on Fandango at home, but like truly love yourself. Give Jeff Bezos $3 like an American and watch it without ads.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a 1999 movie. I'll do a quick synopsis and we can just give our relationships with the movie. Yeah. Is that what we usually do? I feel like I'm forgetting something, but it's just because Greg usually does this part.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a little different, that's okay, because this is, you know, it's not you and Greg, it's you and me.
Tell it to my autism.
Well, okay.
No, it can be different. I'm kidding. So, yeah, basically, Brendan Fraser is this Indiana Jones type.
Uh-huh.
There are two, a very learned brother and sister, yes?
Yes.
Wealthy and learned. Archaeologist people, and they're looking for the City of the Dead, the legendary City of the Dead. To get there, they have to have lots of scoundrels with them. Wouldn't you know it, all the fucking white people disturb a grave, break a curse, and is it Imhotep? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a bad dude, man. He was fucking Pharaoh's wives and shit. And
Anaxunamun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And he comes back and he starts materializing by stealing people's organs, and they just have to have a good old-fashioned mummy war about it in one of the biggest biggest budget, coolest set, like treasure-seeking movies I've ever seen. It goes about how you'd think an action-adventure would go, but what's your relationship with The Mummy, Vanessa?
I don't remember if I saw it in theaters, but honestly, I probably did. I know my family really liked to go to the movies, so we didn't always get to see them like as soon as they came out, but we are big like dollar theater people.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably around 99 or maybe even 2000, mm-hmm. depending on when it came to the dollar theater. But yeah, I, you know, loved it from that like get go. That's absolutely my type of movie. Like I love history. I am basically, you know, Evie kind of, or like that was who I aspired to be in, mm-hmm. you know, as a kid. I was like, oh, librarians, yes, and like love books, history, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, a good story. I feel like it's something that I will not always remember, but if it's suggested, it's something that I feel like I'm always down to watch.
Oh, same, yeah.
That, like, you could throw it on and it would immediately be my vibe, mm-hmm. you know, unless I'm very specific in what I'm wanting. But, like, if that's a group movie or something like that, I'd be like, what about The Mummy? Everyone likes The Mummy.
Yeah.
And if you don't, there's something wrong with you, I think.
Well, according to my psyche, Val, there is something wrong with
me. Oh, no,
For a long time, I did not like this movie.
Which was a kind of a weird flag. Not a red flag, but a weird flag to me that mm-hmm. you didn't like this movie, that you had like a hatred towards it for mm-hmm. a while, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I don't think we watched the same thing. And then come to find out, we thought we were watching different films. Like, I did not know of the Universal Monster, like mm-hmm. the Mummy lore, that kind of stuff,
right?
Whereas that was, sorry,
I literally based my identity around it.
Like, not to be spoiling things, but like, that was what Denny thought they were getting when, you know, mm-hmm. When they went to the theater, they expected a very different film.
Yeah.
When I went to the theater, I knew I was getting an action adventure. I was really excited. I didn't have that, like, this is the Mummy story that you're looking for type of experience. So I think I was much more, like, open to it just being an action adventure. I loved Indiana Jones type movies, you know, like, especially the weird, like, yeah, just a lot of, like, action-adventure mm-hmm. movies that were made by, like, family films or something like that growing up. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of my talking points are on this subject, so we can just segue my relationship with it into the podcast. When I was a kid, I fucking hated this movie because it was nothing like a Universal Monsters movie.
Yeah.
I was thinking I was going to see a classic Universal Monsters flick modernized when I was 9 years old, and like, man, if you can imagine, like, people have seen how I get when Alamo Drafthouse changes their menu, you know.
It's bad, spoiler, it's bad.
You should see me when they fucking change an entire Universal Monster.
Yeah.
I was not pleased, and I even personally resented Brendan Fraser for it. I like associated him with this movie and like didn't like him because of this movie. The reality is I watched it once in theaters when I was 9 years old, and I was just so fucking angry.
Yeah.
I never watched it again until adulthood, and I was like, wait, this is like a crazy fun movie.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, it's like, it makes me think of, you know, if you think you're drinking water and it's that invisible Kool-Aid, mm-hmm, and you take mm-hmm. a sip of it and your brain is like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely not. That is not what I wanted mm-hmm. and thought I was getting. And you kind of do like a zzz for a second.
Well, and I'd like to give my case against this movie as a kid that I do think I wrote down some valid points that I thought my child self had as an adult who loved the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, he wasn't even a fucking mummy. Not even once. He was a skeleton with a little bit of toilet paper on him. He didn't, like, he wasn't even a mummy. Never. Not in the whole movie. Imhotep is never, like, a mummy, like, wrapped in mummified wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Like, not once. Not for one shot. You're just smiling at me like that's normal. It's called The Fucking Mummy, and he's not a mummy.
I don't know. I think they wanted to do something different. You're not wrong. I think that's a valid point. That's why I was just nodding with you. Like, you're spot on.
Okay. I thought you were giving me the "you're a crazy person" nod. I was like,
it's a little bit
of
both.
Okay.
It's like, you're not wrong, but yes, you, yeah.
Now, what I will say is, what I didn't realize is, growing up, it's basically like I saw every classic monster movie and none of them because I just fast-forwarded through all the talking.
Like,
I just watched the monster scenes when I was a kid.
That
I did
does
all
not
that
surprise me at
human
all.
Human drama.
Yeah.
Well, because there were like fucking boomer movies other than the monsters, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was, I actually love that now, but anyway, so I hadn't actually, like, sat down and start to finish watched a lot of these old movies. Mm-hmm. I didn't even do that until I was an adult, really. But what I didn't realize is that the original Universal Monsters, The Mummy, also fucking sucks.
Yeah.
it's a really boring movie. And I was really pissed about Imhotep being in human form for most of the movie.
Oh, sure.
But what I didn't realize is in the original Mummy, there is that one amazing, opening shot of Karloff as the mummy coming out of the sarcophagus.
Yeah.
And then he is in human form the rest of the movie. So that was also, that was an unjustified expectation from a kid who just fast-forwarded through all the boring shit.
Yeah.
I mean, but that is the way the original mummy is.
God, you probably thought the mummy was in, like, no scenes. And that whole movie was like, where's the mummy? There's no mummy in this whole movie if you were, like, fast-forwarding through Karloff looking like a human.
I've got to think, you know, growing up, I don't think I actually had the mummy on VHS.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, because I think I would have figured that out.
Sure, sure, yeah.
I knew the mummy, you know, like, but yeah. I'm looking back and I'm like, I know I had Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. I specifically remember that. I remember a lot of my Godzilla ones. I rented a lot of stuff, but now that I think about it, which also, like, as a kid, I probably saw shit like The Curse of the Mummy or The Mummy Returns or shit. I may not have seen the original. Anyway, that's a bad choice in both movies that pisses me off both times, okay. Actually.
Yeah, that's fair. But I do feel like as a just slight, like, juxtaposition for that, he is much more monster form of the film than he is, like, full human. He's, like, humanoid monster for, I would say, 3/4 of the film.
Well, and as a kid, this was a time when we were making that brutal transition from practical effects to CGI.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I actually really hated CGI monster mummy.
Sure.
Watching it back, this is actually a note I made independently of this, is that, like, some of the CGI in this movie looks like shit. Like, the scarabs look really bad, like, pretty much the whole time. Every one of those looks bad. But the shots that they spent the money on, like, the mummy shots, a lot of those still look really good, I thought. Like, that's something I definitely turned around on from kid to adult, is like, you know, a lot of the CGI that counted aged well, you know, like, the most important stuff aged well. But still, I'd always prefer practical to CGI just in general.
Yeah.
But that was a time when, like, they had already changed Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review at Universal Studios. Uh-huh. And
you were losing a lot of your favorite things.
The 90s were literally dying. It was 99. Yeah.
It was like the shit. Yeah.
It was all Party's headed over. To, like, ICP, Marilyn Manson, 9/11. It's done. Here's something I can accept as an adult that I could not accept as a kid. And this is my last real grievance. Sure. The rest of it is just what I love about the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
This movie is way more in love with Indiana Jones and Disney's Aladdin than its own source material. This movie has, like, no love of the movie The Mummy or any of Universal's The Mummy. It's something that is, like, constantly... It's just like, it's Indiana Jones, but a little different, is what the movie is. And as an adult, they did a great job at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, like, so much of this gave me, like, Cave of Wonders from Aladdin, is what I felt like a lot of the imagery pulled from.
Interesting.
Oh, really? You didn't catch that? You didn't think so?
I don't really think so. Yeah, but...
I don't know. I basically felt like this was Universal's attempt to, like, have their own Indiana Jones, essentially.
Sure.
And I think it was a smashing success, also. Yeah. And as an adult, I'm into that. You know, I'm like, hell yeah, this is badass. But as a kid, I was like, this isn't, like, a horror movie in a meaningful sense. You know, like, there's, like, one or two scary images in the whole fucking thing. But, it was just expectations. I definitely held, like, a 20-year grudge against this movie.
Yeah.
Like, for, like, a really long time.
No, absolutely. Well, I feel like you hadn't even gotten on board before, like, until we watched it together.
No, seriously, like, it may have been longer than 20 years. I think it was that last time that we watched it I came around.
Yeah.
And another thing. So, then in The Mummy 2, you have The Rock as the Scorpion King.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, like, first, but, like, that is hyped up, like, it is, like, what the movie is about.
Yeah.
You fucking blink and you miss it, and sure. it sucks.
Yes.
But don't worry, because your boy The Rock is going to make another movie called The Scorpion King, and I'm going to get excited about it.
Yeah.
And boy, was that a mistake to get excited about.
It blew guts.
Right.
It was so bad. Yeah. No, it's
definitely
totally
guilty
makes
by
sense.
Association with other franchisees yes. as well. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I feel like it, you know, even just thinking about, like, yes, I do think that there were elements of, like, Indiana Jones, of course, but also, like, we kind of talked about this in, while we were watching it this time, of, like, it's almost like Indiana Jones is split into two parts, mm-hmm, like, they mm-hmm. made Indiana Jones two different characters, whereas, in, like, I do think that there's, you know, a case for that, too, but I would also say that there's, like, a piece of just it almost being like a classic adventure film, mm-hmm. too, of like, you know, there's some historical context, things like that. It's like kind of spooky, almost like it has like a Pirates of the Caribbean vibe, mm-hmm. like, you know, and even knowing that like Brendan Fraser, whatever, our boy Brendan, he like wanted to embody some of that like Errol Flynn type, you know, mm-hmm. leading man energy. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it in that way of, like, these classics, kind of, like, old MGM, like, hero movies mm-hmm. and that kind of...
No, yeah.
That like kind of vibe.
Cary Grant type stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's that a little bit more than it was Indiana Jones, but, like, definitely had that clash of Indiana Jones, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, I feel like it's enough of a different story if you look at it from...
Oh, I mean, like, if you look at, like, they're, like, I hear that. I'm not saying it's an Indiana Jones ripoff.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying it's like this is an adaptation of Indiana Jones, not of The Mummy.
Oh,
is what
oh,
this
sure.
feels like. It,
yeah,
it
yeah.
is part of why I resented it so much.
Gotcha.
Which really, as an adult, I'm like, hey, it's Indiana Jones with a horror twist. That's
yeah.
cool. You know, mm-hmm. like, but as a kid, I was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of already touched on it. We both talked about how, what is the female protagonist's name?
Evie.
It's like the smart half of Indiana Jones was put into her,
yeah.
and the dumb half of Indiana Jones is Brendan Fraser.
Yeah,
right?
Like, the action-y part. Like,
right,
yeah.
I mean, he's a total himbo in this movie, though.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
I love him for it, and I was even talking about, I was like...
That is, like... Anyone else, I don't think, would have played that up well, but that's, like, so classic Brendan Fraser
yeah.
that he is, like, an ace himbo. But,
he's,
yeah.
Yeah, so affable in that
yeah.
way. And I just remember being like, man, if he was this badass and this hot and this good at everything
uh-huh.
and smart, I couldn't root for him.
Yeah.
He'd be too perfect.
Yes.
It was uh-huh. so smart to make him dumb.
Yes.
and to give him a smart female companion who is actually the brains of the operation.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, even with her brother is mm-hmm. totally the brains of the operation. Like, mm-hmm. he's there to help, like, finance and to, like, be the backbone of it mm-hmm. in this male-dominant world. But, like...
Yeah.
The whole time he's like, oh, don't ask me that. Like, ask my sister. She knows
right.
this stuff. I'm just here because treasure hunting's fun,
yeah.
you know? Like, I know some of this stuff, but, yeah.
Would you say it's a feminist critique of Indiana Jones, perhaps?
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
In that, like, yeah, most of the time, Indiana Jones's female characters are there for
mm-hmm.
just his growth. And maybe just to give him a few, like, hints of something, but they're never really smarter than he is.
Right, right. Well, and you mentioned Pirates of the Caribbean, and I saw this note that I wrote of, you ever get so drunk you went from the smart half of Indiana Jones to the dumb half of Jack Sparrow? She is absolutely doing the, like, mustache curl, trying to kiss Keira Knightley, Jack
yeah.
Sparrow drunk scene as Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Or I guess he's doing her, because
yeah.
this is before. But it seriously seems like she's, like, trying to act out that Pirates of the Caribbean scene. It's just so,
yeah,
it's such a weird coincidence that
that
was
that
in this movie.
It's such a similar kind of vibe. Yeah, no, but she's, I mean, Rachel Weisz does amazingly in this. And,
yeah
I... This cast is great.
She's part of the hot brigade.
Yeah.
just The cast only hot people.
Even literally the, like, only hot people. Even the weird Benny.
The people who are made to look ugly with makeup because they're evil are also hot.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of like a hot, ugly makeup, you know? Like, it's wild.
Yeah. It's like, when you start looking closer, you're like, oh, wait, shit. Are they hot? But, like, from afar, their badness really gives a, you know, like, puts up a shield for that.
Absolutely. But, yeah.
This movie is also, you know, in that, the Hot Brigade, this movie is very commonly stated as a bi-awareness for the millennial generation of being like, wait, why is everyone in this hot? Like,
we're bi a lot of things, but lingual ain't one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're just mummy sexual. You know, like, I think most people are sexually attracted to most members of this cast. I think that's normal.
I think, yeah.
Pretty typical.
Very true.
This was a weird similarity that I noticed. Mm-hmm. So, this is kind of Brendan Fraser's transition from pretty much only ever doing, like, goofball stuff.
Yeah.
Like, goofball, stoner type stuff. And this is him kind of randomly becoming an action hero all of a sudden. And it's very akin to the same career path that Nicolas Cage took. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
like,
he went from doing, like, true.
Dumb rom-com goofball to randomly being an action hero in Con Air all of a sudden.
Sure.
And I just thought it was interesting that they followed the same career path right down to, like, this movie has a lot of National Treasure in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's,
yeah, it's, they, like, it's that, like, classic action adventure movie.
Well, they have characters that unironically say they want to find treasure.
Yeah.
Like yeah. There's that Brendan Fraser line where she's like, you know history. I know treasure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, God, like, that's, I've literally only ever seen one
other. And the
Americans
that are only going there for, like, just treasure.
Yeah. I've only ever seen one other live-action movie, like, have adults take treasure seriously, and it's National Treasure.
Yeah, that's true.
That was just thoughts I had.
No, I like that. I like that thought. That's really funny.
How about the crazy style mouth on the mummy? Like, that was something that even from that first skeleton they showed, they're like, this dude's gonna have a fucked up looking mouth all the time.
Yeah, it's very snake-like.
Yeah.
That it can, like, extend and, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, I think that's one of the things that, like, it's such a, that those images, you know, of, like, the mummy stuck with me so much as a kid, and, like, even still now when I think of that movie, I think of, like, ugh, just, like, the open jaw, sand kind of filtering everywhere. And something that I saw too, when, like, I just like to look up fun facts and trivia about movies after I watch them, or sometimes
during the movie.
It depends on it. Like, if I know the movie well, I like to do it during, so I can just kind of follow along. But if I haven't watched it before, I sometimes will hold off depending on how invested I am. Mm-hmm. But I still, in theaters, I will not. Most other places, I probably will look up stuff. Mm-hmm. But this one, you know, like, they really had to stay away from being, like, gory. That was one of the things that they were given notes on and stuff.
About
so
the
even
PG-13
like.
PG-13 of it all.
Yeah. Well, like, in PG-13 of it all, like, in. They didn't want it to be, like, a bloody movie,
right.
You know? And it very much could be, or it could have been, like, a gross-out thing with, like, the mummy coming back together and, like, you know, taking... Like, there's some gross parts, but even, like, the plucking of eyes and stuff like that, like, none of it's bloody. It's gross, but it's not gory. And I feel like they treaded that line very, very well. And even, like, using the CGI of, like, you know, the sand falling out of his face and kind of, like, the mummy shifting into the sand creature. Mm-hmm. Like,
God, that was a good show.
Was just such, like, good ways of using, like, making a villain and a monster look scary and threatening without it having to be, like, gross and viscous and that kind of thing. Like... Yeah, I was very afraid of the mummy, like, in the in-between stages. I was like, that thing is...
Oh, I remember getting scared in the theater. I remember it scaring me. Yeah, I wish, you know, like, I just think it's a good as the enemy of great with a lot of the scenes of, like, if they could have done, like... I mean, like, at the end of the movie, Imhotep gets, like, fucking run through with a sword and not a drop of blood spills, you know?
Yeah,
and I think, like... I think as a fan, I would have loved to see what those scenes could have been with R-rated gore.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like, this is not the type of movie that's trying to exclude every audience member under 17.
Yeah,
like, that's
no,
just
this
not
was
the,
like...
That's not what they're going for. They want every fucking... They want families to come see it. Like,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah,
like, and it worked.
It
yeah.
did. It worked. Well, it was, like, fitting that, like, you know, I feel like that was... The Mummy was, before Pirates of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. one of the only, like, successful, like, you know, good action-adventure type mm-hmm. movies. It kind of helped bring some of that back, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it had that, like, kind of broad appeal.
Sure.
But still a little edgy.
Yeah. Do you have any critiques? Any notes you would give the movie?
I mean, nothing, like, nothing super comes to mind. I mean, I think it's a fun film, and so I really don't, like, look at it that... Like, one of the things that I do appreciate is that, at least within their story, they stay consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, the history that they use, the knowledge, people stay consistent with that, and that is a big, big deal for me within, like, even if it's not real history... If they are taking it seriously and not trying to be like, this is really what happened, like, mm-hmm. and this is our real reality's history when it's just not true, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff pulls me out. But yeah, this one I feel like plot wise, I don't know. I don't even feel like it, like, one of the things that I think could be said is maybe that it, like, wrapped up a little fast, mm-hmm. you know, like, we happily ever sure. after a little bit, but like. I think it makes
I was fine
it,
with it.
Yeah, yeah. When it's that classic, like, you know, heroes riding off into the sunset kind mm-hmm. of vibe in the desert, and so it's exactly, you know, what it needed to be.
Yeah. You know what we didn't talk about?
What's that?
You told me that they fucking killed Brendan Fraser on accident. When
oh my god!
Movie.
Yes, I forgot about. I was like, sorry. I was gonna say that's like one of the most like. Striking scenes is, you know, when he is right when we first meet Brendan Fraser, you know, he's executed and he's hung, and they actually put him, you know, I don't think that they dropped him necessarily, I don't know, but like he was hanging, and there was a point where like he passed out completely and like stopped, you know, like his stopped everything, and he had to be resuscitated. So yeah, definitely a scary moment on film.
They fucking, I remember thinking the hanging scene looked really good.
Yeah,
like, you told me that. I was like, yeah, just fucking hung him.
Yeah, he didn't technically die, but he like nearly did. Yeah, he had stopped breathing and he had to be resuscitated like mid scene. Yeah,
I just saw a really tasteless critical review that I'm not going to repeat. I'm trying to find something for the gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
but honestly, most of these are genuine critical reviews, just basically saying this is a really good movie. I'll go with this one. Corny? Yeah. Still fun? Definitely. That's probably the simplest way to describe this movie.
Yes.
Do you want to get into gimmicks on this movie? Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I feel like we kind of hit all the things that cool. I was thinking of. Yeah.
Cool. Well, our gimmick of the week is the "it's not a phrase, Mom" moment. What is a timeless moment of Brendan Fraser in this movie that appealed to you?
You go ahead.
I'll start with what we just talked about. He took a shoot hanging and kicked out, FMW style. But man, I'm going to go with when he used the sword as a baseball bat to a mummy's head.
Oh,
like, that's just
yeah.
an American hero right there. 1,000%. America's greatest pastime, like, gone necrotic. Like, that was just such a fucking... It's like, it's probably, to me, that's the Legolas surfing on the shield moment of the movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
yeah. What about you?
I mean, yeah, like, obviously, the hanging scene. I also think, like, there's just so many good moments that are, like, Brendan Fraser. But, like, even one of the ones that stands out to me consistently is just that, like, affability of, like, him and Benny mm-hmm. meeting up on the riverboat or whatever, like, the steamboat.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
like talking things over and just being like, oh yeah, we're cool, we're hanging out, but like, you know, the tension is building, and he's just like laughing with him and then literally pitches him overboard. It's just like, bye, Benny.
It was a yeet if I ever saw
one. Absolutely. And just like that calm, cool swagger that like, he's not trying to be a great guy. He's just like, yeah, I'm not killing you, but also get the fuck out of here. Like, yeet. If you're going to try to like beat me to this and stuff, like, yeah, go on with you.
Great pick. I love that moment as well. And let's see. Do you have a favorite line?
What was it? You wrote it down and I told you to write it down. I think we might have the same one. Yeah.
It's the only one I wrote down.
Yeah. So, then it is.
I am proud of what I am, and I am a librarian.
Yes.
That's a great line.
It was so good. Yeah. It's like her hyping herself up. Like, yeah.
That was a badass line.
It is.
Librarians are heroes.
Yeah. Dude. Oh, one of the other, like, speaking of library, sorry, this is one of my other little fun facts, was that that library scene where, like, she knocks down all the stacks and stuff.
God.
That was done in literally one take, because if they didn't get it in that one take, they would have had to reset the entire set.
Man, it is a kinetic shot with some precise camera work.
Yeah.
It's an impressive take, dude. Yeah. A very impressive take.
Absolutely. So.
How would you score this?
I would score it, let's see. I think I would have to score it, you know, 5 organ jars out of 5 organ jars. Yeah, or out of one mummy, really. Five organ jars out of one mummy.
Truly a sum greater than the whole of its parts.
Yeah. No, I, like, you know, for this type of movie, I think it's exactly what I want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would put it, grading it alongside of the things like Pirates of the Caribbean 1, you know, like, something like that, like, a action-y adventure movie that's also kind of comedic, Indiana Jones, like, it's definitely top tier for me in those categories.
Absolutely, absolutely. I bumped it up from a 38 to a 40 out of 50 on this watch. I grade by genre, and I kind of consider blockbuster a genre at a certain point.
Sure,
you know?
Okay.
It is a genre that I do not stigmatize as a film nerd, and I'm kind of with you that I'm like, a blockbuster typically needs to have a little bit of everything in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a blockbuster is a lost art. And every so often, like, you see, like, a Barbie come out, and it's like, that's a fucking...
That's a blockbuster.
A classic summer blockbuster. But, like, we used to get, like, blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster because people actually went to the fucking movies because they were good. I don't blame young people for not being into it. The movies are bad now.
And also, like, theaters got stupid expensive. Like,
yeah, dude. Can't wait to see fucking Thunderbolts. But yeah, dude, it's a lost art. And I think this is a real solid 4 out of 5 for me in that lost art. Definitely some dated parts of like, it just looks old.
Yeah.
Definitely some degree of superficiality, but that's also what I love about it. So yeah, man, that's a good grade for me.
I think it's, I think it's a movie that like takes itself just enough seriously that you do as well, but not too much that it becomes too gimmicky and like up its own ass.
It's fun, and we can care while we have fun, you know. Absolutely. Like, it's a movie that the characters are worth caring about.
It also reminds you that like, this is fun. We are having fun, and it's not that serious,
right? Like when they're fighting like that awesome like Army of Darkness world of mummies. It's a little creepy, but like, we're supposed to be enjoying that. We're not supposed to be scared that the mummies are going to kill people we love.
You know? For sure. I mean, it's like a Scooby-Doo movie danger situation that it's like, we're going to see some cool things, but ultimately, like, we know our heroes are not truly going to get harmed.
Honestly, that's something I wish I talked about earlier and gave it more credit for.
Yeah.
It gave me a lot of mummies on the back end.
Yes.
I will say that.
Very light mummy on the beginning.
Yeah.
Lots of good mummies, exactly how you want them.
No, they did end it with a pretty fucking great mummy war.
Yeah.
I gotta give them that. But I think as a kid, I was just like...
Yeah, you were sold.
Fuck
like...
yourselves, filmmakers. I hate you.
You were over it from the get-go.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
Yeah, understandable.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I finally forgave it and upped it 2 points.
Nice.
So, yeah, I guess that's all we got for The Mummy. I would honestly love to just kind of keep When You've Got a Case of the Frasers as a kind of open theme that we could just jump on whenever. So
1,000%.
This is part one of Question Mark. We'll see where this takes us. We're not going to do it again immediately because we are going to be starting what is called the Director Royal Rumble.
Pew, 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 pew.
Where it's just going to be a series where me and Greg and audience members and friends of the show and trusted consultees, we're just going to pick a bunch of powerhouse directors and some premiere movies from them. And then we're going to do some kind of gimmick where they start eliminating each other. We haven't really fleshed that out yet, but we are starting with Greg's
pick. Call it the
pick.
Elimination Chamber.
Well, you can't have a Royal Rumble that's also an Elimination Chamber.
I didn't realize it was a Royal Rumble.
Anyway, we are going to start with Greg's first pick, Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai, aka a 3-hour black and white movie. What a drag. I'll bet no one even likes it.
Yeah, I bet you'll hate it.
I'm gonna love it.
I know you will. You're gonna be so locked in for all 3 hours.
I know I am. When do I have 3 hours, you know?
So often. You do that all the time.
I have so many other hyperfixations. My watch list is a very delicate balance.
Sure, sure.
There's a lot of I have to serve a lot of masters with that watch list. It's not easy to do what I do.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of planning.
I'm sure it does. Keeps you a little planner busy.
Vanessa, do you have anything you'd like to say to the audience to sign us off?
Some might say, should we mummy? And we say, hell yeah, you should mummy.
I'm a policeman. See my badge? Man, for Greg, the new Father Johnson, I'm Denny, the mummy purist Taylor. And for Vanessa, the hell yeah, you should mummy Taylor.
Yeah.
This is Movies for When You've Got a Case of the Frasers, but we already Brendan'd you win.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm a mummy. See my tomb?